is VOA News via remote. I'm Laurel Bowman. Russians in 41 regions have begun in-person voting in September 13th local elections that are viewed as a crucial test for the increasingly unpopular ruling United Russia Party. This is ahead of national legislative elections next year. About 35 million voters, some one-third of the national total, are eligible to cast ballots. As with recent constitutional referendum that could allow four-term President Vladimir Putin to remain in office for two more terms, monitors from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe were not invited to observe the vote. The elections come less than a month after the August 20th poisoning of opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who is currently hospitalized in Berlin, Germany, from the suspected ingestion of a Soviet-developed nerve toxin that his supporters blame on the anti-corruption lawyers' Kremlin foes. A U.S. Marine convicted in the Philippines of killing a transgender woman was released from prison Sunday and deported after receiving a pardon from the president of the Philippines. Lance Corporal Joseph Scott Pemberton served about half of his 10-year sentence for killing Jennifer Laud in 2014 in a Philippine motel after discovering she was a transgender woman. In a statement, he said he had spent much time contemplating the many errors in his ways and expressed his most sincere sympathy to Laud's family. Pemberton's conviction and subsequent pardon stirred controversy about the Visiting Forces Agreement, a bilateral pact regulating procedures involving U.S. military personnel in the Philippines. Many feel the agreement allows members of the U.S. forces to receive special treatment if they break the law in the Philippines. For more on these and other international stories, please visit our website at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Peace talks between the Taliban and Afghan government negotiators get down to business Sunday with the search for a lasting ceasefire, one of many issues up for discussion. An opening ceremony in the Qatari capital, Doha, Saturday saw the Afghan government and allies, including the U.S., call for a ceasefire. But the Taliban, who have fought a guerrilla campaign against both since they were forced from power in 2001, did not mention a truce as they came to the negotiating table. Nearly two decades since the U.S.-led invasion that toppled the Taliban, the war still kills dozens of people daily, and the country's economy has been shattered, pushing millions into poverty. The Taliban have long worried that reducing conflict could lessen their leverage, even as technical committees from the two sides were due to meet to hammer out an agenda for the talks. Violence continued to rage on the ground. Officials said six police were killed in a Taliban attack in Kunduz overnight, while five officers were slain in another attack in Kapisa province. There are more than 920,000 deaths from COVID-19 globally, with more than 28.7 million infections. The United States has the highest number of deaths, followed by Brazil. India, which ranks third in global deaths and second in infections, has registered a single-day spike of 94,372 new confirmed coronavirus cases, driving the country's overall tally to 4.75 million. The health ministry on Sunday also reported more than 1,100 deaths within a 24-hour period, taking total fatalities up to more than 78,000. The ministry is seeing a high rate of recovery, which it attributed to aggressive testing and prompt surveillance. But experts say India needs to test more due to its huge population. It's climbed to the second worst hit country behind the U.S. and is now testing more than 1 million people every day. India's parliament is expected to resume work Monday with strict physical distancing. Parliament adjourned in March just before a nationwide lockdown was announced to contain the pandemic. And domestic air travel in Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the global coronavirus outbreak, has returned to pre-pandemic levels, authorities say. The virus was first detected in Wuhan late last year, and the city underwent a draconian 76-day lockdown as its hospitals struggled to deal with a tidal wave of cases that required the rapid construction of field hospitals to handle the overflow. Since reopening in early April, numbers of domestic flights serving the city had recovered, according to the operator of the international airport. Via remote, I'm Laurel Bowman, VOA News.